Hello and welcome to A Vague Idea. This is a comedy trivia podcast. I'm Nate Rigolia. Each week, we subject our guests to a list of topics to find out if they have a vague idea. And this week, we're going to be talking about a place of imagination and escape, something that we need so much right now to drift into the waterfalls and the unicorns and the magical spells and the elven woods of the fantasy realms. So yeah, we're going to be talking about fantasy today. And we have two fantastic returning guests. One, you've heard from pretty recently. He is the connected introvert himself, as well as a renowned, world-renowned, though largely in South American renowned, musical artist. Nick Shelton is back. Nick, welcome back to the show.
Hey. It's good to be back. Thank you for having me, Nate. I definitely appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I always appreciate that you're so game to come back on the show, and it's going to be a pleasure to find out what you know about fantasy, because what's your connection?
And maybe some of yours, but that's about it. As a genre, I don't know. I don't know how well I'm going to do here. I just, when you said, hey, let's talk about fantasy. You know, and how you get it to me. Let's talk about fantasy. I was like, man, that sounds like a good time.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be real good. We can spend, look, I will give you the floor if you want to just talk about like your ideal fantasy evening. You can just go for it.
We can move on.
That is probably for the best. Our second guest, also a returning guest, this is your third time on the show, and I appreciate it so much that you're zooming into us from the East Coast. You will know him from the Glass Cannon Podcast Network. He is a renowned fantasy player of the internet realms, Skid Marr. Welcome back, Skid.
Hey, what's up? Thank you, Nate, for having me back, and Nate, you're so right. Unicorns and waterfalls are more important now than ever, and I'm glad that we're doing this.
And yeah, we need them. I mean, I would assume, of course, that our current leadership would probably kill unicorns for the immortality therein.
Probably, or just for the hell of it.
Yeah, they might just be like, I want to put that horn on my dick or something. You know, tough to parse out.
They just seem dead set on doing the most villainous thing possible for no apparent reason, so yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
I didn't know that if you kill a unicorn, you get immortality. Is that a thing?
So you're supposed to be able to drink. If you drink unicorn blood, I believe you get immortality. Unicorn tears are supposed to have a healing quality to them, but it's also like the worst mortal sin of all fantasy to kill a unicorn.
It's bad.
You've basically marked yourself with the darkest evil.
But you can drink the blood, but so it doesn't have to die. You could just drink a little blood and drink some tears.
Good. Yeah, I mean it's a cocktail. It's a mocktail. I mean there's no alcohol in it, so it's actually good for everybody.
All right. Well, next to the unicorn, I have some decisions to make.
Oh, I love it. So let's get started with the opening question this week. And Nick, I'll start with you because you already sort of laid out that fantasy as it is not maybe your personal focus. But for what it's worth, what draws you to the world of swords and sorcery, your unicorns, their blood, etc.?
Well, I just like the using the imagination, the escape, escaping from this current reality into another, like maybe a parallel universe, and seeing how things could be. And the other guest on the show, Skid Marr, today, when we used to play some of these games. You know, it is like a little vacation that you can take while staying in the house, and you can be whatever you want to be in that. So even though in your regular life you are whatever, and they say, well, you can do whatever you want, but, you know, you're kind of limited.
You can do like really. Six things total.
Yeah.
So through fantasy, we get to take these little vacations, and you get to act out and become this other thing for a little while, and you don't have to suffer the consequences of whatever that is. Also, you can just live it. And if it goes well or if it doesn't, then it's a really great time, but there's no serious repercussions when you come back to your regular life.
Really, very well said. Very well said, Nick. Thank you. Skid, what draws you to fantasy?
I think Nick hit the nail on the head. It's funny because I've always been a huge fantasy guy. I grew up reading Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit and playing Dungeons and Dragons since I was in third grade. And it's funny, Nick and I have been best friends since high school, we've played a few RPGs together, but it was never a regular thing at all. And I was always more into fantasy than you were. But I agree. It is a best, actually Tolkien put it, one of the things, because there's sort of a negative connotation to using the word escapism.
Sure,
especially, well, in his time, Tolkien critics would complain. They would dismiss his work as escapism. And Tolkien said something like, name me another context in which the word escape is a negative.
Yeah. And yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it's a big negative note for most genre fiction of any kind, right? Is it's like, oh, you're just escaping, like, because we're supposed to just want to consume what getting up and going to work is and all right. of those problems. Like, oh, in my free time, I should experience my bullshit twice. Thanks. No, yeah. Not interested.
It's like you're in prison. You're locked up in prison and you're trying to escape. They're like, oh, you just want to escape prison. That's terrible. Yeah. Well, maybe you shouldn't escape prison, but if you're being held hostage, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, it depends what you did, I think. Yeah.
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 It's the same thing.
Yeah. I think, I mean, escapism's huge. You know, you guys both really said it. Cause for me, I mean, part of it is just that it's an opportunity to be a hero, which is something that I think we all grow up hoping to be. Like, part of the reason why you connect to all sorts of different movies is because it's like, oh, I want to be Indiana Jones. I want to be that person who goes and beats the Nazis, right? And then in practicality, I mean, granted, not the most apt allusion to make, because you really could beat some Nazis right now if you wanted. But
more opportunities than ever.
It's popping up. It's whack-a-mole out there.
many. Yeah.
But we don't have the freedom and choice to just go out and become a hero and a champion in the way that fantasy allows you to, regardless of, you know, casting spells or you know, having a really nice longbow and quiver of arrows or whatever else. Yeah, very good. I'm going to award Nick 3 points because he broached the subject very well, and Skid 2 points for you. I also think, Skid, you might have a little bit of an advantage here because Nick's less into fantasy, so we'll see where this goes.
That's true. No, I'll spot him the lead. That's fine.
Yeah. We'll start there, and Nick's going to be,
it's only fair.
You know, Nick's going to surprise us anyway, right, Nick?
I know he will. He constantly does.
You're full of surprises.
It's surprising how bad he was.
I'm shocked.
I didn't know that he could be that bad. On that same question, you know, and I don't want any extra points or nothing for it, but I'll just expand. The cool thing, Clegg, is because you said that you could be, you get a chance to be a hero, but you can also be a villain.
Yeah.
And because some people say, ooh, I'm chaotic, I'm this evil guy, and I'm really handsome, you know, super handsome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, because, you know, people always... It's Skid and I used to joke about how people, you go, why would you use your points to do that? But, you know, people try to, like, build these characters, and you can say, I'm going to be the hero, and I'm going to do all this cool stuff and slay the dragon. Or you can be like, and I'm going to be the evilest dude in the gang, and we're going to go out here and, oh, get ready for some betrayal, because it's coming, you know? And so you get that this whole spectrum is available to you, and so you can, and then so there's all kinds of different kinds of, you know, so it's not just human beings, it's other sorts of...
more options, way more options.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Races and creatures and things to be.
You can explore and say, well, what would it be like to do this? What would it be like to do this? So it just gives you that little break to check out all these different angles and see how it plays out. And once again, you don't have the consequence. So if they're like, hey, this bad thing happened to you, you're like, oh, huh, okay. Well, but then you just go eat dinner at your house. It's not like it's happening to you. So anyway.
Oh yeah. You know what? You said not to give you more points, but I'm going to give you one more point.
Oh wow.
Four
okay.
points. Because what I like is you tapped into the villain thing, right? Which is that's the other thing. The idea that you could do anything where you go, you know what? I'm going to walk up and this guard's going to say we can't come in. I'm just going to stab him. I'm just going to stab him to see what happens, right? And you can right. do that in a fantasy game. And if you have a good game master or DM, like that person might give you the benefit of the doubt, or they'll kill you immediately and you just create a new character who does something different. Like you don't have any consequences. You are free to be as irrationally insane as you want to. Although no one ever, I think, selects to be not handsome. You might choose to be an orc or a goblin, but no one is picturing like, I am the most hideous creature that you have ever seen. I'm also evil on the inside, and it's a disgusting mess.
The less attractive you are in real life, the more likely you are to play a handsome character.
I found. Oh, yeah. Yeah, because, you know.
I just need to be just not a offensive to look at, so people,
yeah.
people don't really notice me. I just kind of blend in. There's nothing hideous about me, but I don't need to waste any time trying to be any better looking than I need to be.
And I can say from experience, I get to play a lot of different characters on our shows, and what you were saying, Nate, it is the most fun thing is to play a self-assured sociopathic asshole.
Yeah.
That's by far the most fun thing.
And what's terrifying is we all have that in us. It's just, we're all, the majority of us who aren't currently president of the United States have that in some level of check.
Yeah. But then that's the thing. You don't do it because there are repercussions, and the repercussions are like, oh, now I feel terrible because I've actually hurt someone.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
in this setting, you could do whatever you want and nothing's real. So that's,
yeah, I mean, you might hurt the feelings of your friends at the table because they'll be like, oh my God, I can't believe you do that
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, if you're doing it.
But it doesn't live past that. Like you get to the point where it's like, okay, the pizza's here and we're all chill again.
Yeah.
So yeah, 4 points for Nick and 2 points for Skid on that. And wow. Now we're going to go into round one. Skid, do you have a vague idea about Godly Plate of the Whale?
Godly Plate of the Whale. I do not have a vague idea about that.
Do you have any? Do you have any guesses? You want to throw anything out?
Godly Plate of the Whale. This is. Is it an artifact? Well, I can say definitively that it's not an artifact from Dungeons and Dragons.
It's not a D&D thing, but
okay,
it is.
It is a Tunnels and Trolls artifact. That is my guess.
Okay. Okay. I mean, I'm gonna give you. I'm gonna give you something on it. Not exactly, Nick. Godly Plate of the Whale.
Yeah, so what this is, it is it's a whale bone, it's an actual plate made of whale bone that kings would eat off of before they would send their armies into battle, and it would guarantee victory.
That's really good. I love the level of detail that you've provided in your answer.
Because that's what it is.
Your conviction. I love the conviction. Neither of you are correct. Godly Plate of the Whale is an item, an armor piece from the game Diablo from the computer. And they had a nomenclature for armor pieces where you would have Godly would be, it gives you plus 200% health, or no, it was plus 200% armor. And then it had of the animal, and that gave you a health bonus. So Godly Plate of the Whale is the most armor and the most health bonus possible in one piece of armor.
Which Diablo was that?
I think Diablo 1.
That was Diablo 1?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because I do actually remember in high school, my friends and I taking advantage of the trading glitch that would allow you to just like dupe items over and over and over again. And we were trying to see how many hundreds of those we could make happen on the screen before our computers crashed. It wasn't that many. The game crashed pretty quickly.
I played a ton of Diablo 3, but I never played Diablo 1 or 2, ever.
Yeah, I was big on 2. I played 2 for a long time. And then I played 3 through with 3 different characters. But I haven't revisited in a while, even though I think I did buy it 3 months ago when it was on sale. Because I was like, okay, I want the definitive edition again. Why not? Let's just keep going with this. So great job. I'm going to give you each 1 point and,
catching up.
Yeah, we're getting in there. So Nick, it's time for round two and you're going to go first. Do you have a vague idea about the Mists of Avalon?
The Mists of Avalon?
Yeah.
So I know it's not a hairspray. This is Avalon. Well, it grants, I don't know how this is advantageous really, but it grants you, damn it. So I know what it is, but it's going to sound stupid because, you know, the listeners are going to be like, well, why would anyone do that? So it kind of takes you back in time. So it grants you youth, but it's not only do you get your youth, but you go back in time half the amount of youth you get, if that makes sense. It's hard for me to say. So if you were 40 years old, let's say, and then you go through the cave that has the Mists of Avalon, then you'll be 20 years old now. That's your appearance. Mm-hmm. But you actually go back in time to when you were 30.
I really like that.
That is really cool.
Time travel premise.
That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah. It basically allows you to retcon your own life in ways that you actually could do something about it, because you'd have enough foresight and you'd also kind of be maybe connect. I don't know. Do they let 20-year-old you into 30-year-old you's like workplace where you can still talk to those people?
Absolutely. What did you do over the weekend? You look great.
You look amazing.
And then you say, well, I went to the unicorn bar and I drank me some blood.
And got the fish. Then you say, I got a full 8 hours of sleep, you know? It'll really...
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
Why would you be 12?
I love it.
Like you lost 20 pounds. Is that... Yeah, good sleep. That'll do it.
Yeah, you know, what they say. It's stress is all a weight gain. And if you're asleep, you're not stressed.
It comes right
whole
off.
Hours. It's just laying in the bed. It's gross, but it's gone.
It all came out overnight. I didn't get up once. It was all there. I left quite a mess. But I'm not looking forward to going home, as a matter of fact. But feel great right now.
Yeah, if it's obtained sentience, it's something to trifle with later when you get home. Very good, Nick. Skid, the Mists of Avalon?
The Mists of Avalon... I believe I have a vague idea about it. I believe it's a book about the retelling the Arthurian legend, if it's what I'm thinking of. And I've never read it. I believe my mom read it, because I think if it's the book I'm thinking of, it was in the bathroom when I was a kid and she was reading it, but I never did.
All right. Great place to locate that book too, especially if there was a bidet nearby.
Well, there was, as a matter of fact.
Hey, well, there you go. There's where
which
the mists
Nick can
come
attest.
From. Yes, good. Very good. The Mists of Avalon is a 1983 historical fantasy novel by Marion Zimmer Bradley that relates the Arthurian legends from the perspective of the female characters specifically.
Yes.
So okay. It follows Morgan, a priestess fighting to save her Celtic religion in a country where Christianity threatens to destroy the pagan way of life. It also focuses on Guinevere, Vivian, and a couple of other of the female characters in Arthurian legend. So good work. Nick, I'm going to give you 1 point because I still really like this idea. And I think that we all need to get together and write a screenplay about this movie because it can be like...
I wish it was what Nick said, because that sounds amazing.
Doesn't it sound good? It's a spiritual sea. Okay, we've done the age up movies, right? We've done Big, we've done 13 going on 30, we've done 16 again, we've done all these things. What we need is 40 going on 20 in my 30s. That is a movie.
The thing, half of the screenplay is going to be just explaining and re-explaining the concept to people watching the movie.
Oh, and everybody loves an elevator
like,
pitch.
Wait, what year is this? How old are you? I don't understand. No, I went back physically 20 years, but it's 10 years from when did you come back from? I look awesome, and now I know who's going to win the next 10 Super Bowls. That's all you need to worry about.
Yeah, so we can do almanac stuff. Oh, it's going to be a great case. Paper. Yeah. And skid 3 points because you knew what it was about. And now it's time for our first game. It's time to play Collect, Deck, Discard. This is a variation on Fuck, Marry, Kill as it pertains to Power 9 magic cards from Magic the Gathering.
Okay.
So
I love this game.
Yeah,
there's no bigger Magic the Gathering enthusiast than Nick Shelton, I can tell you that much.
So yeah, luckily, Nick, you get to go first. So here are your options. You have the Black Lotus.
Black Lotus, yes.
The Ancestral Recall.
Okay.
And Time Walk. So which card would you collect, as in you'd fuck with that card? Which card would you put in your deck, as in you'd marry it? And which card are you discarding, a.k.a. killing?
Okay, I'm marrying the Time Walk.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, and then I'm going to kill the Black Lotus.
Okay.
And then I'm going to fuck with...
Ancestral Recall?
Ancestral Recall.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. That's yeah. Whether you know it or not, it's a savvy choice.
Good people, one and all. You know, I actually killed the Ancestral Recall, but my ancestors. So I'll keep it the way I said. Okay.
No, I mean, it's a savvy play because you can use the Ancestral Recall card to bring the Black Lotus that you killed back to life so that then you can reuse it. You've done something very, very smart there. So Skid, what are you going to do with those three cards?
I will say, when I first moved to New York, the first sublet that I had, I happened to be subletting from a professional Magic the Gathering player.
Whoa.
And I had never played before, but he had a bunch of his decks in his room. And so my roommates and I, we played quite a bit of Magic the Gathering, and I cobbled together a green and white deck from what the guy left behind, and it was awesome. But I have no idea what any of those cards... I mean, Ancestral Recall, you just said, it allows you to bring back a card from the graveyard. Is that right?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Time Walk just allows you to go back through the discards and pick a bunch of stuff that has already been played
to take it
back in your hand. All of these cards are insanely overpowered and none are allowed to be used in tournament play anymore. And I only know that because I read about it earlier today.
Okay.
Because I've played a fair amount of Magic the Gathering, but not to the extent that... that I know much other than, you know, I remember guys at the middle school lunch table being like, oh yeah, I've got some Moxes and a Black Lotus. And it was like, bullshit, you don't, because those are worth thousands of dollars each. And they are. All these cards are worth a lot of money. And then Black Lotus just gives you like a pool of three or four like colorless mana that you play. So it's basically an insanely powerful resource card.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay. Wow. Well, I'll marry the... Time, no, the Ancestral Recall.
Okay.
I'll fuck around with the Time Walk, and then I'll the Black Lotus is really good, but I'll get rid of that.
Great. Yeah.
I gotta say too, I was so annoyed because I listened to the last episode, the basketball episode.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And that was really good, but it was driving me nuts because I love basketball, and you did the what was it, the bench sixth man.
Oh yeah, bench franchise and six man, yeah.
Yeah, and I had an answer for that, but I said it out loud, but no one was listening.
Hey, that is the greatest praise that you can give a podcast of this type, that you would actually be like, these assholes don't know what they're talking about. I know the answer.
I had an answer. The guys were right. You got to get rid of Dirk Nowitzki. You were incorrect. I hate to say it. You got to get rid of as much as I love Dirk. You got to get rid of Dirk.
Yeah. Keep LeBron for the talent and keep
LeBron,
Timmy, because he's going to keep the team together.
LeBron is my sixth man because he can play five positions. You can put him in. He can still play 30 plus minutes a game, but you bring him in, sub him in anywhere. And then Tim Duncan is Tim Duncan. So
yeah.
And Tim Duncan, avid Dungeons & Dragons player, by the way.
Oh, no way.
So, yes. Yeah, so
oh, man.
Points for that for me.
Well, then does Tim listen to your podcast?
I doubt it. You know who does listen to the podcast that I found? I don't know if Nick, if you know this, but the guy, one of the guy played Lancel Lannister on Game of Thrones.
No way.
Yeah, he's been tweeting at us, which is, that's pretty cool.
That's great.
Yeah, that was really exciting.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what we need to, we'll try to get Tim Duncan. We'll try to get his contact.
Please do, because I'd love to have him on the show on your show.
Oh. That would be amazing. Oh my God. That would be so much fun. I have absolutely no idea what Tim Duncan's personality is like because he's one of those athletes who did not ever talk really and just was like, I'm all business and I'm just permanently excellent. And that's
I think
it.
He's just a nerd. I think he's just a real quiet nerd.
Which, I mean, that's wonderful.
That's my best guess.
If all of us were a little bit taller, right?
Yeah.
Great job. You guys were both absolutely correct. You each get 2 points.
Thank you.
And now we're going to go into round number three. And Skid, we'll start with you. Do you have a vague idea about the Lord of Darkness?
The Lord of Darkness. Well, that's a tough one. I know there have been several Lords of Darkness, but vague idea. Lord of Darkness.
And I'm thinking of a very specific one from a, I'll give you this much. A very specific Lord of Darkness who's, that is their character name in a film that came out in the 1980s.
Oh, is it Willow? Oh, no, not Willow. Legend. Is it Legend?
Yeah, that's correct.
It is Tim Curry's character that looks like a devil. As it looks really cool, and he is a minotaur with like crazy horns, and he's red from Legend, and that was great.
Yeah, yeah, very good.
That's part of that movie.
What am I supposed to say?
Sorry.
Like, oh, I totally know that. I'm going to crush this one. And then he said it, and now... I got to sit here and just be like, yeah, same thing.
Yeah, no, Nick, do you have anything you can add about Tim Curry?
He's a good actor. He's a good guy.
I agree.
Fun to have shots of tequila with. that's what I can add. If you listen to this podcast, please hit me up. We'll have some shots of tequila. I got some really good-looking neighbors. We can have them over. See what happens.
I think it would be a lot of fun to drink with Tim Curry, just because I can only imagine that he is so much fun in person just to hear him talk.
Yeah.
Especially if he's
I think it would
drinking.
Be great to use the Mists of Avalon and then talk with Tim Curry.
Ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, because he's not in great shape now, is he? Health-wise.
He's been in a wheelchair. I think he had a stroke.
Okay,
he's been in a wheelchair for a while, unfortunately.
He definitely needs the tequila shots then.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, line him up for Tim.
Yeah.
We should get Tim Curry and Tim Duncan. That's the way to get him on the show. It's like, we've got a themed show. It's all Tim's. So it's
Ooh,
you, it's Tim. Curry and Dunk.
Yeah, Tim time.
Tim time.
Tim time.
The Tim Travelers. We call it the Tim Travelers. And then we just talk about the Mists of Avalon, the concept.
Oh, that, yeah, yeah. This is good. Wow. This is good. The Lord of Darkness is a character from the film Legend, which have either of you seen the film Legend?
Yeah.
Okay.
I saw it in the theater when it came out. I saw it at the Tivoli. I saw it at the Tivoli Theater in the mall.
Yeah, I remember the Tivoli Theater.
Yeah, I saw it there.
Was it good? Because it's not reviewed well.
It's not a great
movie.
No, it's not a great movie. The part of the thing is, until very recently, fantasy was not really a viable cinematic genre. There were a few entries, but none of them were great. There's Willow and Legend, and it was, and you know, we're all hungry for it, fantasy fans like me, but there just weren't any great entries. And it's okay. Absolutely though, like I said, the best thing about it is Tim Curry in that movie. That's a great villain. It's a great character. He looks awesome. And
stupendous prosthetics and everything. Like, it's wild makeup.
Just cool. Just super cool. But it's not a great movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And you brought up Willow, which is a movie that when I was younger, we rented no less than 10 times. And I think I fell asleep every single time.
It's not great.
Like,
I never
made it through Willow. Because
no.
You're like, oh, cool. This is going to be exciting. And then, no, it's not. It's like, it's basically just like 3 men and a baby, but in fantasy times for way too long.
Yeah. Val Kilmer's character, Mad Mardigan, is great. He's great. It's a cool character. And the villain, not the villainess, but her second in command, the general guy with his skull helmet. He looks awesome. That is a really cool looking character, but it's kind of like Darth Maul, which is not really surprising that this is a George Lucas joint. But he looks awesome, but there's nothing really substantial there.
Yeah. Yeah. Nick, anything to add about the movie Legend?
I saw it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't have anything to really
Okay.
It was so long ago that I don't really have a lot. I remember how Tim Curry looked, but I don't really know a lot about the movie per se, because I've seen a lot of movies. I saw, I don't know, many, 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 many movies, and Skid and I first met working at a movie theater.
We did.
A lot of movies, so it's hard for me to keep track of all the movies, but I do remember seeing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Tom Cruise is in it. Mia Sara is in it. I mean, it should have, by all accounts, been stacked enough that it should have been a winner, right? Oh. And that's, I think, what they thought, but didn't play out.
That's where Skid and I used to work.
Yeah, on my green screen, I put up the theater. It's not a theater anymore. It is a Christian high school, but that's where Nick and I met. And man, we saw a lot of movies.
I mean, you know what they say. Every movie theater becomes a Christian high school someday.
It's beautiful in its way.
It's common idiom. Great job. 1 point each, because that was a little bit of a weird one.
Also, beautifully shot movie, by the way. I believe it might have been Ridley Scott's follow-up to Blade Runner.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's
it
right.
It may have been. And it's a gorgeous movie, but not that good.
I'll watch it at some point, because I just have this curiosity.
No, definitely watch it. If you're a fantasy guy, you have to have seen it.
Well, it's been on my list of, like, I just need that one night where it's, you know, where my wife goes to bed and I just have 2 hours that I'm still going to be awake with nothing to do. And I'll go, I'm going to watch Legend now. Let's go.
I envy you.
great work. Round number four, and we'll start with Nick. Nick, do you have a vague idea about homebrew? Homebrew.
Homebrew as with fantasy or just homebrew?
Fantasy, but I mean, you can talk about homebrew in other contexts if you want.
Well, but that's not what the people want.
I mean, honestly, if you looked at our numbers, I don't know that we know what the people want at all. So go ahead and just talk about whatever.
Like, please don't talk about homebrew and
fantasy. Hear your thoughts on whatever it is.
Usually homebrew, it's kind of like fantasy, because it's, you know, fantasy to me. And a lot of people, especially here in Colorado, they, you know, start these micro breweries and have all their beers, and there's a ton of them, and they're just like, hey, what about if we put, some cayenne pepper chutney ale, you know? And then, like, wow, yeah, that's some weird combinations. But for me, I wanted to be a whiskey guy. So I had a still back in the day, and I brewed up, distilled. So my homebrew was whiskey, and we called it Smilin' Nick's and TNBC, which was the night before Christmas, because when you drank it, it made you feel like you were a kid and it was the night before Christmas, and it kind of lit you up inside.
Yeah. And
the most amazing warm feeling inside this moonshine gave you.
It's better than being in love, because it's
way better.
Repeat it, and it's like consistent, and it's always
there. Never lets you down.
And there's an amount that you can stop consuming where you prevent the heartbreak that is inevitable in love.
Right. I've had enough love for now. I'm going to drink some water.
Maintain the love at this level. Have a burger. You know. So for me, it's kind of like a fantasy, because my homebrew distillate whiskey would take you into this realm where you're still in the real world, but inside it's like you have a glow, you're lit from within, and you say, this is what it feels like to really be alive. More than a person in love, I don't have to do stupid stuff like a lovebird. I have my wits about me and just feel warm, loved, and go out into the world and be the best that I can be.
Go driving.
Yeah, I mean,
just drive around, enjoying your life. That's the freedom it gives you.
Very, very good. I love the fact that you tied it into potion craft, which is definitely a fantasy activity.
Yes.
So it's a very good, Nick. Skid, do you have a vague idea about homebrew?
Oh, I have a vague idea. I know the homebrew is a term that tabletop RPGers use for creating your own Dungeons and Dragons or whatever game scenario, which I know, Nate, you do.
That's pretty much all I do. I don't use any of the stuff that they provide.
Yeah, you don't. A lot of people, like, we on our show, we use pre-published material because we don't trust our own ability to craft a full story. But a lot of people, they like to create their own worlds, and it gives you all the freedom in the world, much like Nick's Moonshine did in the day. It gives you the freedom to create your own world, your own characters, your own storylines, your own plot hooks, everything. And I have done it before. I'm not great at it. I prefer using a more fully fleshed out world, and I'm bad at designing encounters, combat, and everything. So I tend to go, I've always gone with published stuff, but a lot of people have a great time with Homebrew, and more power to them.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, the game that I'm in now, we're doing Ravnica, which is a really phenomenal little world to play D&D in.
What is that? What is Ravnica?
It's like this huge super city that's got just all these different districts and mysteries, and there's all these special races and guilds and things connected to it. Yeah, it's like its own supplemental module thing, but the guy who's running the game is like, he's read everything 20 times, and he knows everything that's going on. Yeah, it's wild, because it's very differently structured from the ways I've played other times, because it is so, there is so much detail there, so much thorough detail, and like class system and all this stuff. It's great. It's great
awesome.
Stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, great job on Homebrew. Nick, I'm going to give you 2 points. And Skid, I'm going to give you 3 points. And now it's time to play our second game. It's time to enter the Thunderdome.
Oh, Thunderdome.
And this week in the Thunderdome, you guys have to decide who will win in a battle to the death between two powerful forces of war. We have Sauron's orc army versus the wild chicken army that happens in Legend of Zelda Link to the Past. If you hit a chicken too many times with your sword, the screen floods with chickens flying around that attack you, pecking you mercilessly. So Skid, we'll start with you. Is it an army of orcs or just an infinite number of chickens that wins in a battle to the death?
If it's a truly infinite number of chickens, I guess they would probably come out on top at the end. But I don't know, because if Sauron, if he still has the ring, if the ring still exists, that's a pretty good army. So it would last a long time. But I think that ultimately the chickens would probably come out on top. And I got to say, too, I hate to keep referencing, I'm going to get my opportunity to participate in last week's episode one way or another. Because you did the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar versus Michael Jordan thing. And yes. I think you guys are right that Michael Jordan would win. But don't sell short. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, he said he's a very zen guy. And then that would be it to his, even though he's studied with Bruce Lee and he's a martial artist in his own right. But don't sell Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's famous temper short. The man had an edge to him.
It's a good point. Yes. He was a product of basketball in that era, which was a basketball where you punched each other in the mouth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he did it a few times.
Oh, yeah.
And I ran into Kareem Abdul-Jabbar one time, and I did not say anything because I had heard about how touchy he could be. And I didn't want him to yell at me. I didn't want to have that experience. So I just looked at him.
That's the worst thing in the world, to imagine someone you admire just being so frustrated that you're talking to them.
It would have killed me. It would have killed me. If I had known that I had caused Kareem Abdul-Jabbar a moment of annoyance, I would have shot myself.
Wow. That is bold. Hookshotted?
Yeah, that was the funny
guy hookshot
thing.
Yourself?
I think I would. Yeah, that's it's guaranteed to go in. But I know there was, because I think I told Nick about this. But we saw him. We were coming up. We're on a ferry on Fire Island. I was with Phil Chorba, our friend Phil Chorba, and we were doing a touring Shakespeare type thing on Fire Island. And Phil is looking out the window of the ferry, and he looks to me and he says, "Dude, there's a guy on the dock that looks just like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar." And I said, "Yeah, whatever, racist. It's just the one black person we've seen since we've been on Fire Island." And we pulled in, and he gets up, and it was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. But the funny thing was, he was wearing just jeans, just regular jeans, and he had a T-shirt that just said Skyhook on it.
Whoa!
So he would have just looked like a regular super tall guy,
right?
Except he had a shirt advertising his signature basketball move. So it was interesting. When is Halloween that year?
I do like the idea of just a regular super tall guy being a thing, because I feel like automatically you scrutinize someone who's extremely tall or extremely short, really. Like, you're going to give them three looks instead of just the one and the walk by,
And I guess that's probably why he's on edge so often, because it's impossible for a guy like that to be anonymous, truly.
Oh, yeah. No, there's
Might as well lean into it and have a shirt.
Life of all scrutiny.
Yeah.
Very good. Nick, in the Thunderdome, Sauron's orc army, or just an infinite number of wild chickens flying at him? What do you think?
So what was Skid's answer? Because he said if the chickens were infinite, then they would truly win, but if they weren't, then probably the orc army. But which was the final answer?
That's a good question. Skid, what is your final answer?
I said if the chickens were truly infinite, if the number of chickens was anything short of infinite, the orcs would win. If it's truly infinite, they can't. The orcs would never win.
All right. So there you go.
Well, yeah, I got to agree with that. Because, yes, if chickens, angry chickens are coming at you and they never stop, then, yeah, eventually they're going to wear down the orcs. But if it's like a certain number, let's say 10,000 chickens, yeah, those orcs would definitely slaughter the chickens. If it was 100,000 chickens, the orcs would still win. Right, 1 million chickens, the orcs would still win. But if it was 20 million chickens, I don't know, maybe the chickens might
pull it out at the end.
All right, so yeah, so it's a 20 million chicken threshold that we're laying out as that's before the army of evil is.
They didn't try that. Everyone says, oh, why don't you use the eagles to drop off the ring? No one even mentioned the army of infinite chickens.
More chickens.
More chickens. But, you know, I try to picture, yeah, so, because I was trying to picture, so if I was in the Thunderdome and it was just, I guess, one orc or 100 chickens, I think I'd go for the chickens. I'd try to battle.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just more interesting.
And it'd be more fun to watch for the audience.
Yeah.
Man, he thought he could beat 100 chickens, but apparently that's a lot of chickens to beat. To see a grown man taken down by 100 chickens, that's
yeah. Talk about a fantasy, right?
That's my fantasy.
But an orc, you'd be like, well, surely he's going to lose. This orc's just going to come in there and get him. But the chickens, you'd be like, I got to get a ticket for this. I want to be up front, and we're going to get to popcorn and really check this out.
Betting line would be way more interesting. Be a lot more activity on the betting line.
And I'd be like, you guys are betting on the chickens? I thought you were my friend. Yeah. Like, hey, you know, I've seen you fight. And that, it doesn't give me a lot of encouragement. And then the chickens, you know, they got the spurs, you know. And they'll kind of spur
it's true.
Chickens are no joke. I have one story and then I have a tangent for us real quick. The story is I used to do plumbing and heating work with my dad every summer because that's the business he owned. And that was my summer job. I would just go work with him for 3-4 months every year. One summer we were working on a house. They had basically like a huge fenced in perimeter around their house because they kept chickens, and the rooster was a super asshole rooster. So my job was to go outside and to, you know, basically test the gas lines that we installed to make sure that they weren't leaking, which involves like we put it under air pressure and you spray everything with soap and stuff and you're doing that and you're yelling back and forth like, this is good, whatever. In the midst of doing this, this rooster keeps like creeping up and at several times like flew into my face and flew into my dad's face so much that he took a mag light, those big like crazy heavy flashlights, and took a swing and like clocked this rooster and knocked it out cold. Like, but he had to because it just kept flying in the face with those spurs and those feet coming at you. Like they do not mess around. Chickens are one true mortal enemy, I think.
Yeah. Well, roosters are basically toxic masculinity in bird form.
Yeah.
they're awful.
But when you said it's going to be a bunch of chickens coming, were they going to be roosters or were they?
If there's roosters in there, that's a whole different story.
Oh yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I mean, I'm basing it off of the video game, which they just use the one design of a chicken, so I can't say it's a rooster. But you know, I mean, with our imaginations, anything can happen.
Like, what am I going to do with all these eggs? Anyway, yeah, okay.
The the tangent is something that I've forgotten, so never mind.
Okay.
I was going to make a Simpsons reference, and now I can't remember what it is.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Are you, is it the You Better Run Egg?
No, but I love that. See, if we just start naming Simpsons references, maybe I'll get to it. Okay. Yeah, I'm not going to remember. Okay. It's all over. So great work on that. Nick, I'm going to give you 3 points because you really parsed out the potential number of chickens necessary. We got into the math, and that's special. And Skid, 2 points.
Yeah.
And now, from the makers of Pomme ou Pomme de Terre, it's La Chose Francaise Arbitraire. That's the arbitrary French thing, and the only thing that's French about it is the name. And this week I'm going to ask you each just a query, a simple query. So, Nick, you can cast any one magical spell.
Ooh.
You can cast it once and only once. What spell are you going to cast?
So any magic spell, and I can only do it once. Man, this would have been cool if you would have emailed me this a week ago.
but then we don't get the fun of you being on the spot and telling me that this is very difficult to do on the spot.
One magic spell, and it can't be one of those, I know it can't be one of those lame things where I say, I grant myself the ability to have a bunch of spells. it has to be one magic spell, but I can only do it once.
Yeah.
Because I know there'd be something that I'd like to do a lot of, but... oh, don't laugh.
No. I'm just guessing in my head quietly.
Yes, I know, but what emerges in your head is probably what it is.
I'm sure.
let's see. One magic spell. I don't even know if it was my turn to go first. Oh, yeah, I guess it was because Skid with the chickens.
I did the chicken thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So use this time, Skid, to think of something good.
Oh, I got an answer already.
Yeah. So, he's been asked this a million times.
This is a question we get at the conventions constantly.
Yeah, the old
I have stock answers.
All the time. Pretty girls, hey, if you could cast one spell for tonight, what would that be? I'm like, oh, I know what that is.
Purify food and drink immediately. Yeah. Let's go. Yeah.
It's like, well, I don't know for sure.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
See, that's the answer. That's what you say in that situation, but this is a different situation.
you froze, so we didn't...
You froze for a second. Repeat what you said. Sorry.
I said, I don't know for sure, but I do know that we are going to have a magical evening.
There you go. That's very good. That's very good.
So, let's see. So, my one spell would be... Man. Okay. How about this? So, to have one... So the spell would be to have a do-over. So I can go back in time and do something over again one time, apparently, because that's all you're giving me.
I guess if you have the spell end right where it started, you might be able to cast it perpetually. I don't know.
That's true.
I don't make the rules.
Oh,
this would be challenging. I mean, I do, but I also don't.
You explicitly make the rules.
Yeah, so... But, yeah, I would – I think that I would like that. So if – you know, so it gives you a lot of – in your life, there's – you can only use it once, and then you can say, okay, if you're going hang gliding, and then they're like, oh, no, the hang gliding, and they're like, all right, here it is, do over.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I want to go today.
Yeah.
Use that. Or, you know, if there's something where it could be – you know, you're in Hawaii, the sun is setting, and you kiss your lover, and then they say, you're making me feel uncomfortable. And you're like, oh, shit. I think I'm going to...
I don't want to roll that back.
You would burn it on that?
No, I was just... I'm uncomfortable, too. Anyway. It's like... the whole sunset. You know, I respect you, and I respect your right to be uncomfortable. Anyway. So... but I would, that's my spell, to be able to have to go back and be like, well, hold on. No. So my one do-over.
Great. I love that. That's a really good answer.
That's basically the Omega 13 from Galaxy Quest. Isn't that what it's called?
I think so. I think that is what it's called.
Okay. Well, there you go.
So Nick, and because you brought up hang gliding, I want to take this tangent that I will remember, which is you were in a glider like last week.
Yes. Thursday.
Yeah, what?
Oh,
yeah, that cool. was very cool. I saw your social media story about it, and you're just soaring over Boulder in an airplane. What prompted that? Just very quickly, as quickly as you want.
Growing up, I always saw some footage of gliders, and I said, man, that looks really cool. I'd like to do that one day. And then, so this month, I said, well, nothing's going on. I can't travel anywhere or do anything, so now's a good time to go ahead and do that. So I went up to Boulder Airport and got in the glider with the dude, pilot, and the tow plane took us up to 11,000 feet. Then we detached and then we cruised around. Then we got up to 15,000 feet because if you go under these, there's certain clouds. If you get under them, they suck you up. So they pull you up and then you kind of fly back down. Then you look for another cloud and you get under it and circle and it pulls you up. And so we just flew around for an hour and a half. Supposed to be an hour, but his watch broke.
You caught all those inversions too. That's cool.
And he was the fun part was so I flew for a little while because before we got in, and I don't know, I'm sure they'll let whoever fly if you want. But before we got in, he said, "Have you been in a small plane before?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Are you a pilot?" And I said, "No, I took flying lessons, but then because a pretty girl convinced me, but then." Came to my senses before I became like an actual pilot or anything. And so but he said, don't worry. I'll let you fly while we're up there. And I was like, I didn't ask to fly.
I don't actually want to do this at all, control wise.
So then when we're up there, I was like, man, hopefully he forgot about that. And I don't have to fly this, all right, you got it. It's you. And then I was like, what? And then I flew for about 10 minutes or so, and it was actually, it's really intuitive, and it's a really, it's much easier than flying a Cessna 172. It's really nice. Now, I'm glad that he didn't say, I'm having heart problems, please.
Yeah. It's the risk you run when you do that shit.
Oh, no, this is not good. I need the do-over, Nate.
Yeah, I can't do-over.
It's a good time to use that spell. Glider pilot's dying. Time to go.
But, no, it was a really beautiful thing. I highly suggest it. It was a great time.
Right on. Yeah, I was so impressed. It was a super cool thing, and I was like, wow. I had a moment where I said, is there anything Nick doesn't do? And I'm sure there's a long list of things you don't do, but steep in that compliment for a moment. Skid, what's that one spell that you can cast once and only once that you would cast?
There's only one answer to this question, and it is, of course, the 7th level spell, Limited Wish.
All right.
Because yeah. Wish... that's too much power. That's too much responsibility. It always ends up going wrong. But Limited Wish, I would just wish for a Dodge Charger or something limited that would give me enjoyment. That's the one thing. That's the spell I would cast.
What would you wish for?
A Dodge Charger Hellcat SRT.
Okay. All right.
But with the matte black finish. That's what I want.
Nice. Yeah. Very good. Okay.
That's what I want. Or I could just buy the car. But I don't necessarily need magical means to do it. Right. But it would be a lot easier.
You're saving some money with this wish.
That's a lot of money. That's like 60 grand. So
I mean, you can include
that for other things.
You can include tax and title in the wish too. So you don't have to stand in line at the DMV. There's a lot of stuff you're getting out of the way.
See, a genie would fuck you. Like, the genie would be like, aha, here you are. And then you're still on the hook for the taxes and fees.
Yeah, or it's just like, it's in the name of an ex-girlfriend. So you have to go, like,
right.
tell them
yes,
to sign the title over.
Yeah, you have to.
God damn it.
No.
Genie.
But yeah, Limited Wish. That's all your worries are over.
Very good. I'm going to give you both 2 points for Les Choses Francaises Arbitraires. Just to let you know, we're going to the final topic, and you are both now tied at 16
oh my God.
Points each.
This is unbelievable.
It's real close. It's real close. So for the final topic, Skid, we'll start with you. Do you have a vague idea about Kamar Taj?
Kamar Taj.
Kamar Taj. K-A-M-A-R-T-A-J.
Kamar Taj. I do not know what that is. Is it a popular Indian fantasy film franchise?
It is not. Okay. But that's a good guess.
Is it an unpopular Indian fantasy film franchise?
Yes, that's what it was. It was unpopular.
Ah, damn.
Do you have any other guesses?
I don't. I have okay. No idea.
Nick.
Yes.
What do you think? Kamar Taj.
Kamar Taj. I'm so glad you asked that this final question fell on me, because he was the main character of the book Three Shrines of Navarru. And that is his merry band of followers on wild adventures, and they had like these like dragon hippos and stuff that they would slay. It's a wonderful book series, and I recommend it to everybody. Please look it up. Everybody, friends of Navarru, it's a 5-book series.
Okay,
and he's a wonderful protagonist.
I hope that's true, because I want to read that book.
I mean, honestly, like, Nick, I feel like I should give you a point because you have invented a bunch of things that we want to exist.
What are you talking about? Look it up, Amazon.com.
Honestly, he should just get permanent points for inventing The Night Before Christmas, because that shit was amazing.
It was delicious, and it made you feel wonderful.
Really?
Never had anything that made me feel that way.
No.
You know what? You know what? Yeah, Nick, I'm giving you a point for this. Neither of you are correct. Kamar Taj is the fictional location that appears in the Doctor Strange comic books. It is the place where the Ancient One lives, and where Doctor Strange learns the mystical arts. Doctor Strange is fantasy as Marvel gets.
That was also a 5-book series. Please, listeners, look it up.
It's so funny. I'm a huge Marvel fan, as I think you know, and I do two other podcasts with former Marvel editors, and I had no idea they're gonna yell at me for sure. I didn't get that.
For what it's worth, it does, like, that name doesn't appear in any of Stan Lee and Ditko's stuff. It's later fleshed out, so you kind of have to track down the later Doctor Strange stuff, I guess, to know that that's
okay.
The name.
All right.
But yeah, so guys, this brings us to the end of the game, and neither of you are losers. I want to be clear about that right now. I want to be very clear. No one is a loser tonight. But
in another
Skid,
more
scored,
accurate sense, I am the loser.
But Skid, you scored one less point.
Oh, man. Congratulations.
And honestly, like, you awarded Nick that point as much as I did, because he made that amazing it's honestly a whiskey of legend.
Oh, my God.
Like,
you have no idea.
You have created a fantastical homebrew item that I want now. I want you to make this for me, so that I can taste it, because I need that. I need to.
I would like some too.
You gotta break out the still again, man. You gotta start making it again.
Yeah.
I know it's a pain in the ass, and I hope there's no revenuers listening to this podcast. But you really do. That stuff was so fucking good. You have no idea.
My liquor taxes.
But yeah, I think that is the big takeaway from tonight's show, is that you need to make that again. You need to brew that again, distill that again, because I want to taste it. I want to have the light of the holiday season enchant my insides.
All year round.
All year round.
Yes, that's what she said.
So Nick, as the winner this week, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Yes. Well, first, thank you. I'm so astonished that, you know, I think, I don't know, this is kind of a... Thanks for somehow rigging it so that I would win. But
I mean, if anything, I spotted you points up front, which is sort of the thing. But you know, hey, it shook out. I don't think Skid's really upset. Skid, you'll come back. Right?
You earned it fair and square.
Okay, good. See, Skid's cool with it.
Yeah.
Fucking Three Shrines of Navarro.
Yeah. I could never come up with anything that good. That's fucking awesome.
It's good. Read it. So anyway, yes, connectedintrovert.com is where you can go and see what I do. We got a book coming out September 15th, which is An Introvert's Guide to World Domination.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. It's how to, as an introvert, how to upgrade your life and lifestyle. And you can go to the website, connectedintrovert.com, and get on the sign up to be let known. That didn't make sense. To be informed when the book is available for pre-sale, which will be in about a week or two. And then also got courses and mentorship stuff, all kinds of stuff for introverts. They tell introverts you have to be an extrovert in order to live your fullest life, but that's not true. And I will help you and show you how, as an introvert, you can make the most of your life and network like a boss. ConnectedIntrovert.com.
I gotta say, and every time we talk about this, I love what you're doing. It's really, really powerful because I'm a mostly extroverted person, but I definitely have at least 33% introversion, where there are times when I do not want anything to do with anybody. In a certain social situation, I will be like, I'm going to stand in the corner, and until I get to three beers in, I'm not talking to anybody, which is not probably a sustainable social situation as I get older. But yeah, I love this. I love this idea. I love the idea that basically you're saying, hey, look, the internet makes you think that you have to be this extroverted person who shares your whole life. Guess what? You don't have to be. You can be successful. That's fucking great. Thank you for doing that. Skid, what would you like to plug?
I would also like to plug Nick's book. I'm very excited for that.
Yeah.
It is. He really did strike a chord, because I know a lot of people feel like you do and I do. It's that we feel very introverted and it can be a hindrance to success. But, you know, Nick proves that it doesn't have to be. But so, yeah, very excited about that. But we are doing a show. They're doing Gen Con, the big RPG convention. The original RPG convention they're doing it remotely. Well, actually, this will probably have happened by the time this comes out. But
yeah, this will be September something. So
okay. Well, we will have been on the main stage for Gen Con for their show, doing our show on there in the end of July. And yeah, we just go to glasscannonpodcast.com. Check us out on Twitter, Facebook, etc. We've got a bunch. We're doing a Delta Green show right now for our Patreon subscribers, which is a fucking blast. It is so fun. We're having so much fun with it. Troy is making me laugh so hard on that show. Doing a bunch of different things too for during the coronavirus times, keeping us all busy. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
Right on. Yeah. I mean, I, listeners, you got to check out the Glass Cannon podcast, because I've been plowing my way through it. I have not gotten as far as I probably could have. Yeah, I got too many podcasts that I listen to anyway, because I'm just that person. But
it's a competitive environment.
Man. It really is. There's so much. There's so much all the time. I don't even have time to listen to this. Not that I want to. I don't want to listen to myself talk.
I don't want to.
I love
to
you
myself,
guys, but I don't want to listen to myself talk. Yeah. but yeah, I mean, you guys have a phenomenal show, and the camaraderie among everybody on the show, and just the energy, like, it gives you the feeling of being virtually at the table with people playing who really like each other and really care about what they're doing. And that's rare, because, you know, there are so many D&D podcasts right now, in fairness, and there are varying production values, but like, you guys really capture the friendship thing.
Oh, thanks, man.
And it's, I mean, yeah, cause it's you guys in like the Adventure Zone, and they're all family. So they have like whatever, a slightly more connected familial energy, but
yeah, those guys are cheating almost, because they grew up together,
right?
They have such amazing chemistry, yeah, and their dad and everything, yeah. But
yeah, oh, I mean, that's, yeah, I totally agree. I think it's beautiful that you say they're cheating, because you know, not in a bad way. They do great stuff. But like, I'll watch some of their YouTube videos, like their Monster Factory videos and stuff.
Oh man, I just watched every Monster Factory video that they ever did when because I had coronavirus. I was sick
back
in April. Yeah, and that was one of the things that I did was I watched all of their Monster Factory stuff, and I was just laughing and coughing.
It's this thing where I will start watching one of those like right when I get into bed, and if my wife is still asleep, I just have to turn it off because I will just laugh out loud constantly.
Yeah, it's so good. It's so funny.
And it just makes me so tragically envious that I'm like, I wish I had like brothers when I was growing up.
I know.
even assuming that it would have produced the same result, right? It probably wouldn't have. But all of those McElroy guys are just so delightful.
They're great.
Guys, you got to check out the Glass Cannon podcast. It is phenomenal.
Thank you.
Good work. And I love listening to you guys. You're so much fun. So listeners, thank you so much for listening. If you like this podcast, you can go ahead and subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. That would be helpful. You can also tell people you know. Don't tell them in person, unless you're 6 feet away and wearing a mask. You can text them, though, or you can Zoom them. That's the way we're recording this show right now. Do those sorts of things. And also, Black Lives Matter still. It doesn't matter how long in the year we've gone. It's still important. You can also support Indigenous peoples in this country who have been suffering under COVID specifically because this administration doesn't want to give them any funding of any kind. And it's not fair. It's punishment upon punishment. And then, yeah, otherwise, I mean, I think the main thing is that we're all doing what we can. Hopefully when this episode comes out, we're not under the steel boot of a fascist police state regime.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. I got my fingers crossed, too. I kind of doubt it because everything's been all bluster, no muster. But we'll see. But in any case, we've all had a vague idea about fantasy this evening. And that is a wonderful thing because you know what? The devil is in the details. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
A Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolia, Ms. Shannon Page, and sometimes John Perros. Information about topics often come from Wikipedia, so hey, why not donate a bit to that? Sound effects are Creative Commons public domain. If you like this podcast, tell a few people, and subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. And if you happen to like reading science fiction, check out the small press I started with my friend Sean Grokowski. You can find Spaceboy books at readspaceboy.com.